Boudreaux had this fine apartment, man, and look like every month they would break in. So Boudreaux said, I'm going to catch this person. I'm going to catch him. So one day Boudreaux came home early, and his door was ajar. So Boudreaux eased in. He looks under the bed, looks behind the bed, nobody. So he runs over to the window. Boudreaux lives on the third floor, and here's this guy going out the front door with a television on his arm. So Boudreaux grabs the refrigerator, throws it out the window, hits the guy on the head, kills him. And Boudreaux catch a heart attack and dies. And there are three of them standing at the pearly gates. So St. Pete asked Boudreaux, well, what are you doing here so early? He said, well, this guy broke in my apartment. I saw him leaving the house from our television, threw the refrigerator out, hit him on the head, kills him. St. Pete said, okay. So the guy behind me said, is that true? He said, no, sir. He said, well, what happened? He said, well, I was on my way to work late, tried to bring my TV to the shop. This guy throws a refrigerator out the window, hits me on the head and kills him. So the third guy said, well, do you play in this? He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, well, what was your part? He said, I was sitting in this refrigerator, minding my own business. That's the best y'all can do? Man, I went all the way to Russia to get that, and that's it, I'm done. Brent's going to have to, that's it, I'm done. No more, that's it. I'm going to put the responsibility on Brent from here on. Oh, see, that's somebody to appreciate me. Check is in the mail. Anyway, as soon as I get. The Holy Spirit. You hear so many tales about the Holy Spirit in the Christian world today. They throw him around like a jacket. They baptizes you in him. They do all the Holy Spirit. I've been in churches where they're lifting up hands, say, Holy Spirit, please come down. And well, the truth of it is the Holy Spirit is the DNA of God, DNA of God. That big word there, that big D-E-X-O-Y, I wouldn't even try to pronounce it. But that's the English for DNA. But God, the Spirit DNA is, the Holy Spirit is our divine nature always. Y'all like that one, DNA, right? The moment one gets saved, he's sealed with God's DNA by the Spirit until the day of redemption. Pretty simple, isn't it? That's why Paul said, I pray that you don't get away from the simplicity that's in Christ, right? You say, well, what's the Holy Spirit job? You know, if you talk to the average person about the Godhead or the Trinity, as we hear people often call it, you say, well, where does the Holy Spirit come in? You know, somebody can tell you, well, you know, God and Jesus Christ was definitely the same. I mean, there's no difference. And people say, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, if you go through the Bible, there's more reference to the Holy Spirit being God than Christ being God. Anybody knew that? Now y'all do. Take my word for it. But I'm serious. That's true. The Bible is called what? The Word of God, right? Yet Peter says, holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit to write the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, he said, in past times, God spoke to us in various ways, but in these last days has spoken through his Son. This is my Son, whom I am very pleased. listen at what he says. Well, if the Spirit inspired the Word, it must be all inclusive with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, right? So you see why the Spirit is such an important person in the Godhead? He's our DNA. God's in heaven, Christ in heaven. But yet God and Christ lives in us on earth through the Spirit, right? Let's just look at it. Peter just said that the Word of God didn't come by some mystical, magical way, but holy men of God, that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Moses would just wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to write the Torah. I'm going to write some. No, he was inspired by the Spirit to write as the Spirit gave him the things to write. So were other prophets. So were the apostles. 1 Peter chapter 1, what I just quoted to y'all, you can, well, let's look at 2 Peter. That's why I call him the DNA, divine nature always. Peter writes this, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace be to you in peace, multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, according to as his divine power has given us all, how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. How many things he's given us? By the divine nature, all things pertaining to life, that's life on this earth as we walk to and fro, that is the Spirit that leads, directs, and guides us. He's given us all things that we need for that. And then he's given us all things we need for life, that is eternal life. In other words, if God gave you the Spirit, and he did the moment you believe, then guess what? You hooked up, as the young folks say, as Chloe would say. You want the hook up? Get the hook up through the Spirit. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and God will give you the hook up through the Spirit. Not only did he give us the Spirit, he said, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. I told y'all that I met a guy a couple of weeks ago that claims that he's perfect. He don't sin anymore. Well, he's a little bit better than me. But I told him, I totally agree with you. God has given us everything we need to not sin. But nobody's ever pulled it off yet. Not Paul, not Peter, not John, not James. None of them have pulled it off yet. But he's given us everything we need. He's given us the power. He's given us himself. The problem is, folks, we're just hard-headed Christians. We will choose to grieve God, the Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Spirit said, no, 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 go right. We said, well, no, we want to go left. Sound familiar? The day that you eat, you will surely die, right? Well, God didn't really say so. You know, God don't want us to be as smart as him, so we're going to eat and see what happens. But he's given us everything we need for life and godliness, and that is given through the Spirit. And we talked about how in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that the Old Testament didn't just jump up and appear. The Spirit led those men to write. Here's what I want you to write, and they wrote it down. They simply wrote it down. Yesterday I was watching, I don't know if any of y'all saw the movie, what's the name of the movie? That's what you got to look forward to when you get old. God Isn't Dead. Anybody ever see that movie? Well, it's modern college who teaching, y'all know they teach evolution, right? So a student challenged the professor to a debate, evolution versus creation, right? And man, he just flowed. I mean, this guy just flowed how evolution started and how Christians always have to come back to faith. And then he asked, what is faith? Say, you can't prove nothing, so you use the word faith. And I told you I had a debate with a guy from UNO years ago on the same thing, evolution versus creation. And I asked him this question, two questions. You say that we make up things, we make our own God so that we can worship however we choose, some kind of way, he says. So I asked him the question, well, if what you say is true, who lit the dynamite? That was a big bang. Somebody had to start the big bang. And then it goes on to carbon dating and all this kind of stuff. I said, and the other question is, what about wants to die then the judgment? I said, that's in the Bible. So you said this is a book that man wrote. I said, look, if it was left up to man, why would they create a God? That's stupid. Just do what you want to do, just like y'all doing, just like your evolutionists do. Why would I create a God? Because there's some moral guidelines when I create a God. So how why would I do that? Why would I punish myself like that? When I could lie, I could steal, I could do whatever and not worry about it. So I'm creating a God, and you say I got to take it by faith? Well, what the heck do you take carbon dating by? Unless you're 2 million years old, you wasn't back there to prove that as a fact. So you taking it by faith of whoever it was that told you that that's how it was. And that's what the guy asked the guy yesterday. He says, then if we created a God, no, he said, if I had created a God, the rules would be totally different. Do what you want to do, when you want to do it. Don't worry about nobody else. This thing called love, forget all that. But there is a God. And the fact is, this debate was in the middle of Tasty Donuts. And everybody listening is shaking because if you don't beat him, somebody's going to leave there believing what he believes. Right? So I asked him, I said, look, and that was back in the day when you had the, y'all know the little silver balls that you pull back and throw the swinging? And I said, you got a desk at UNO? He said, yes. I said, you got the little, he said, oh yeah, I like those things. I said, if you don't pull it back when you go there, will they ever? He looked, well, I said, who was the pull backer? I say, see, my source say in the beginning of time, see, your source say time always was. 90 million years ago, 50, whatever you need to prove your point. That's why they need millions of years, you know. And I say, you tell me how in the world they still got monkeys at Audubon Zoo. When they going to become man? He told me, he said, well, that's the point. That's how evolution works. You get to the point where things are made perfect and then perfect? Things are made perfect? But anyway, it was fun. When the debate was over, everybody stood up and said, he ate your lunch. I said, no, the Bible ate his lunch. Because you see, the book that he used well, written by a natural man. The book that I'm reading is supernatural. And I know there's a creator, because before I got saved, I was exactly who he said I was. And now that I'm saved, I'm exactly who he said I am. See, he don't have that to fall back on. And that's a horrible place to be, because you're going to give an answer one way or the other. You're going to be at one of the judgments or the other. At the white throne judgment, tell God how smart you were and how much you knew about carbon dating and how little you knew about how bad of a sinner you were, and see what happens. No matter what you believe at that time, whatever's going to happen is going to take over. You're going to either get cast in the lake of fire forever, or you're going to rule and reign with him. That's what the Bible teaches. I know it's antiquated and outdated, and it was collaboration that Moses and Paul and all of them got together in one room, and they say, you write this and I write this. How could that be? How in the world could that be? But that's what they say. You know, I mean, man writes anything. Man, well, so do y'all. But young guy. The word was written by the Holy Ghost. It's moved by the men wrote it as they were moved by the Spirit of God. They wrote the Old Testament. He pregnated Mary. Now, boy, this is a hard one for people to believe. I mean, come on now. Come on, y'all. Mary, a virgin, had a baby. Y'all said the Spirit pregnated. No, I didn't. That's what the Word of God says. So that kind of puts him on the same plane as God. So that's why he's God's DNA. So when you're born again, God's DNA is all over you and all in you because of the Spirit. He's our life. The promise to send him. Y'all know in Luke where he told the apostles to go up to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high, that's the very beginning of the Spirit coming as we know him. Now, the Spirit always been in the world, but this is the very beginning of the Spirit coming to indwell every believer. Or better yet, that's the beginning of the church, regardless of what Les Feldick or Richard Jordan says. This is the beginning of the church. It says, you go to Jerusalem, and you wait, and you tarry, and you're going to be endured with power from on high. Well, what that means? Well, in John chapter 7, John writes, speaking of the Spirit coming, well, how all this is going to work? In verse 37 of John chapter 7, it says, in the last days, the great days of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believe on me, as the scriptures have said, so must be some validity in the scriptures, right? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake of the Spirit, which they that shall believe in the future, when he comes. You believe, that's how you're going to get him. You believe on Christ, that's what you're going to get the Spirit. You're going to get God's DNA. Can't get him now because he hadn't come. Not in this way. John chapter 3, he explains that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born when he's old? And Christ says this, Jesus answered, saying to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word born again is anything born from above, that is, the Spirit has to come from above. Ain't happened yet, Nicodemus, but it's going to. And when he come, man, he's going to seal you up, and you're going to receive God's DNA through God the Spirit. Born from above, that's what it means. And he explains it in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Two different birds, Nicodemus. No, I'm not talking about going back into your mother's womb. I'm talking about being born again. New birth. In Acts chapter 2, God makes good on a promise. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they was in one accord, in one place, and suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled the house where they were sitting. I'm sorry, he didn't knock people over. He didn't have people kicking around like fish out of water. They were sitting. They were sitting. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the beginning of the new birth. You go further over to the epistles, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, new creation. This is that new creation. The moment you get born from above, you become a brand new creator. Now he's out baptizing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. One spirit, one body, whether you be Jew or Gentile, don't matter. The moment you believe, the Spirit from above baptizes you into the body, into the church. God's DNA. Now, just for y'all, I did a search. Baptizing the Spirit came up zero time. So Jimmy Swaggart, I'm sorry, but he said I baptized more Catholics by the Spirit, or baptized them into the Spirit. It's no such thing, folks. You're baptized by the Spirit in the body the moment you believe. That's how it all works. God didn't make it complicated because he's dealing with a bunch of dummies. I'm chief. Can you imagine if God said, if you can run a marathon, turn cartwheels, pick, bench press 1,000 pounds, you get to heaven? Heaven would be empty, right? But he says, believe, and I'll seal you with myself. I'll give you my DNA, and you're going to be, you're going to have a divine nature always. As a matter of fact, in John 14, where he's talking about the Spirit coming, he shall be with you, that when he's come, he shall be in you for how long? Forever. So that's divine nature forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Nope, sorry. He's our sealer. Ephesians chapter 1. In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were, past tense, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. For how long? Until redemption. Well, if you seal until redemption, when he come back to redeem you and you go to heaven, you ain't got to worry about being sealed no more because you're in, right? So it's God DNA. It's God DNA. When Christ was about to go back to heaven, he said, look, man, it's going to profit you guys if I go back because I'm going to send one just like me, the Comforter. I'm going to send one to comfort the world. He's talking about the Spirit, right? And then a little bit later, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. Well, wait a minute. Who can? Well, you, that's why it's God's DNA, folks. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. All living on the inside of everybody that truly believed the gospel. And as I said this morning, man, make sure you know what it means to believe the gospel. Because once you believe the gospel, God's got you. I never leave nor forsake. But now remember, you got, you're his DNA. So as they used to tell me when I was a kid, boy, you act just like your daddy. Well, I got his DNA. So how do we act? Like my daddy. Because I got his DNA. Nothing I earned, folks. It's something I got simply by believing that he paid my sin debt in full, which was my death. And after doing that, he gave me his life, which will never be suspended, which will never end, which he will never leave nor forsake, because he can't deny himself. For him to walk away from you, he'd be walking away from himself. Folks, that is the greatest motivation in the world for me to act like who he's made me. I truly am the righteousness of God in Christ. You want to have some fun? Walk up to somebody tomorrow and say, I can tell you how to be just like God in Christ. You think anybody would say, I don't want to hear that? I bet you here, tell me how. Greatest witness in the world. I also ask people, I said, do you realize that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing your sins against you? And you'll get that look, tell me more. Try it. They're going to either shoot you or love you. If they shoot you, I'll come to your funeral. But if they love you, then you've done what you're supposed to do. Paul here talking, same writer. Paul's talking about, he therefore that despises not man but God, who has given unto us himself, his DNA, his Holy Spirit. And you notice that it's always given to us, not lent to us, not rented to us, but he gave to us. So when people despise you, don't feel bad. They simply despising God. But tell them about him anyway. Then say, well, Lord, is on you. I've done what you asked me to do. Now you do what you say you're going to do. And he will. Guarantee it. In Ephesians chapter 3, he's our strength. He roots and grounds us in love. That it will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit, in the inner man, it's an inside-out job, folks, it's not outside-in, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And I didn't put the rest of this, but where was I? Okay, I think I passed that. When you get my Egypt, you kind of get ahead of yourself or behind yourself. But anyway, he's the witness of the New Testament. I didn't separate it from the line. He's the witness of the New Testament. It says, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Where forgiveness or remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. The witness of that happening way back when lives on the inside of you. He's telling you, he's confirmation of everything that God has done through the Son. God sent the Son. The Son died. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to witness for both of them. This covenant is true. Sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Why? Because of God's DNA. God the Spirit. So it's the greatest motivation for me in the world to learn how to live this Christian life. It's not by rules and regulations, as we talked about this morning. It's simply by what He has done. Sent the Son, who came, did what He was supposed to do, went back to heaven. He sent the Spirit. He's here doing what He's supposed to do. So we need to rejoice in it. We need to celebrate it. We need to share it with somebody. When God cried from the cross, it was finished. Man, that's the greatest words that one could utter. What was finished? God's plan of salvation is finished. God's GPS, His GPS, God's plan for salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. He was the preacher, as Peter describes him. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:12, whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you. How? With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Yes, that Holy Ghost sent down from heaven to live inside of you and me so we can share the gospel. We can preach the gospel. He's the preacher. So when you share with somebody, have no fear that they're not going to listen, because it's not you. It's God the Spirit. It's God the Spirit that came down from heaven. Peter said on that day of Pentecost, when He came down and filled everybody, from that point on, it was God building the church through the Holy Ghost, through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the gospel. The only way we can serve Him. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 1. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. The only way you can serve Him is through the Spirit. While you go over the city this morning, there's a whole multitude of churches that is trying to serve God in the flesh. That don't happen. Have to be in the Spirit, because if you're not born again, how could you serve God? And you're not born again. Natural man can't. It's impossibility for a natural man to serve God. Now they can serve the God that they know, but they can't serve the living and true God, because there's no connection. There's no connection. Until they learn that the degree of the depravity of the flesh, they cannot serve the living God until they get the living Spirit. And that's our job, folks, to share the living Spirit with those who think they know God and those who never claim they know God. Nonetheless, we share that message. In John chapter 4, verse 23, y'all know the Samaritan woman at the well. We worship here at Jacob's well. That's what we Samaritans do. Christ says, wait, time out. There's coming a time it is. I don't care where you worship. But if you're going to worship me, it has to be in spirit and in truth. He is the organizer of the truth. He is the writer of the truth. So you can't worship me with lies. And if you got no life, you can't worship the living God. Oh, you can praise him and ask him for worldly things, but that's where it stops. That's where it stops. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to what Paul says here. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile this temple, God shall destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Think about that one. What is my witness like? Well, somebody screaming out of the temple. Things for me to say and things for me to do. But I can ignore him. But he still lives here. And the very next verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is where Paul reprimanded the Corinthian church about all the crazy stuff that they're doing. You name it, lawsuits, brothers suing brothers, right? Lying, stealing, having an affair with his father's wife, or his stepmother, all those things. Going to church in the daytime, going up on the hill to the temple at night. So Paul asked the question here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? You know how your grandmother, your mama used to say, you did what? The emphasis would come. Paul asked the question here. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, but ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. That's a stern, strong warning, isn't it? You go up to the temple, you're attaching your body to the prostitute. Guess who you're attaching? God. That's a pretty serious matter, right? You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I don't have it up there, but Paul says this. Paul said, I fear that you're going to get away from the simplicity that's in Christ. And folks, that's not just God is taking you from earth and taking you to heaven. That is a fact, because the only life he offers is eternal life. But it's also as a guide. It's a director of our lives. It is God saying, look, if any man be in me, he's a brand new, right? He's a brand new creature, right? So Paul said, put on the new man, which is what? Recreated in righteousness and true holiness. We just finished reading all that. God has transformed you. So you take that act, and you're running through Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, be not, what? Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Well, one of those renewing is, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that God has given you the moment you believe the gospel? And it's almost like Paul said, what are you going to do with him? You're going to let him lead and guide? You're going to walk in him so that you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh? Or you're going to constantly be conformed to the world that he's taken you out, or be transformed to the newness of life? That's the choice we make every day. It ain't nothing to do with law, folks. It's to do with the grace of God. He simply tells us, yes, you were risen with Christ, but you know what else he tells us? You died to sin. Sin is no longer alive in us. We can recognize it, folks. Yeah, we might slip and fall, but we just not going to live out that. Paul says, look, when you were dead in your sins, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, you see where you was? Well, that's where Paul was. Paul's sin was religion. Ours is a whole bunch of stuff. He simply tells us, I've given you the power to what? Lay it aside. The sin and the weight that set you back or beset you, I've given you power to do it. And folks, that's a process. Put the flea collar on your dog. I know how long it takes for the last flea to jump off, but they're constantly jumping off. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Philippians, I have not obtained that which ye have given me. In other words, Paul said, that I already am, I haven't reached that yet. But I press on for the high calling of what? The resurrection. The resurrection is where the power is. The death was the part that he took away your sin, that he paid your sin debt. But boy, Paul said, I'm pressing on for the high calling. And that's what we all should be doing, pressing for the high calling. I've only met one perfect person, and that was the minister I met a couple of weeks ago. But boy, I can tell you, there are things that I catch myself in, and I'm going, what in the world, or where did that? Yeah, anybody ever been praying, and a thought hit you like that? You said, where did that come from? Lord, I'm praying. He said, yeah, I want to test you. I want to show you that when you think that you stand, sometimes you land flat on the ground. But man, we got to press on and press on and press on for the high calling. God said, I fitted you for heaven. I fitted you for heaven. And the truth is, look at, turn in your Bible, sir. I know y'all thought you wasn't going to have to work at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 3. When y'all think you wasn't going to have to work. First Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's talking about foundation here. What foundation you're building on? He asked a question. You know how many churches are building on sand? Well, the Bible calls that wood, hay, and stubble. But Paul says here, look in verse 11. For the foundation can no man lay than that which than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide, in other words, if you've been on the right foundation, what is the foundation? What is the right foundation, folks? The death, the burial, the resurrection. Only foundation you can build on. So if you're building on that foundation, he says, man, your work is going to survive. Verse 14, he said, if any man work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But if you're building on the right foundation, that's why you're at this judgment or this appraisal. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where what we do here in the body is going to be judged. Paul says if that survives the fire, you receive a reward. And I'm so glad he didn't tell me what, because, boy, I'd be working in my flesh trying to get it, and I'd lose it anyway. But he said, man, if you're building on this foundation, reward. But if not, it's going to be burned. You know, I use Greg's old words. How many Christians you think it's going to smell like a fire sale at the judgment seat of Christ? I might be one. It depends on the day he caught me. But what I do know is that I am building on the right foundation. And that is his death, burial, and resurrection. Same place here where he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of God? It's going to be judged. Everything we do in the body is going to be judged. Paul says in Colossians, doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. So the more we submit to the Holy Spirit, folks, the better off we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And it just feels so good in this life for somebody to say, thank you for doing that. You didn't have to. Thank you for not cursing me out the way I cursed you out. That's why I have to turn the news off in the evening, because I go to curse not politicians. No, I don't. Don't nobody go and say that. But boy, I sure get up. Ooh, I get hot under the tunic when I hear them lying and talking about how much it's going to do for you and go in a pulpit and leave them a billionaire. Anyway, let's listen to God the Spirit. Let's listen to the DNA that's in us. That is the Spirit of God. That's his whole purpose. See, of course I want to seal you so Satan can't steal you. But I seal you for a purpose. I sanctified you. I set you apart for a purpose. You're to be my eyes. You're to be my hands, my feet here on earth. And it's, boy, it's tough sometimes because that's what the world throw at you. But understand that God says, I got you. You need my help? Get out of the way. My problem is I don't get out of the way enough. Just don't get out of the way enough. Anyway, I'll close so I can be charged Piccadilly's. Don't make me curse y'all out now. Y'all gonna look at me and say, that's the one was up there just now? No, just kidding. Ain't gonna do it. Lord, again, we thank you for all that you've done, because all that you've done is everything we need for life and godliness. And we give you all the honor and we give you all the glory, Lord. And Lord, my prayer is that we would learn to listen to you, your word who was inspired by the Spirit that lives in us. And we got your word. Let you, the Spirit, teach us how to listen to you, how not to grieve you, how not to quench you. And Lord, we will see the blessing day by day in other people. And people are so thankful for some of the things that we do or don't do. And Lord, we know that you're the only one that deserves and should get any glory, because all this is of you. And Lord, we lift up our pastor, Lord, as he's sharing you. He's telling people out there that you were in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. I just pray, Lord, that as they sow the seeds, plant the seeds, that you'll do the increase. And you will, because you said that that's your job. But as they water and as they sow, Lord, I just pray that you give them the numbers. And I really pray that everybody they talk to will come to you and be saved. And Lord, I just pray that as we go this week, Lord, that we'll tell somebody, even if it's just one person, if each of us tell one person and one person come to Christ, it's well worth it. So we simply thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We know that you can do anything but fail, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we thank you for sending the one who makes all this go. That is your dear son. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.